Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker, Ray, and now Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing great, Steve. Thanks for being on with us, as you are each day.
You bet.
Your day job, or your, well, this is part of your day job, but your otherwise job is as a reporter for American Family Radio News, right?
Reporter and anchor, yeah. You'll hear me in the afternoons doing the top of the hour newscast and then throughout the day with various stories as assigned.
If you're a reporter and anchor, do you ever introduce yourself?
You mean like I'm Steve Jordahl?
Well, if you're anchor, you're saying next we go to our report from Steve Jordahl.
Well, I don't introduce myself. Yes, no. Not that it hasn't needed to happen occasionally when we're short of stuff. If that has to happen, I will basically not introduce myself, but I could play my report with all the sound bites and just like I'm reading it live, I suppose.
Yeah, change your voice up.
Yeah, right?
I'm Steve Jordahl, and we're going to go to Steve Jordahl in the field.
my evil twin reports.
Hello, I'm Steve Jordahl. Ray, tell us about your Advent devotional series.
Well, it is now December the 3rd. And I'm doing these daily videos. And during the last segment, for some reason, I was thinking that this morning during the do you guys ever get the days mixed up? I think I said on the video, this is Happy Wednesday. And, you know, once you do that, Tim, and it goes out, and you think of it an hour later, you're just dead, right?
Right.
You're just completely dead. No,
but you're doing yours live.
That's right. I'm doing live on Facebook and on YouTube and then be archived later. So, okay. Anyway, we're doing Advent videos based on the theme Great Joy Advent from the Gospel of Luke. You can find out all about it. You can watch the videos. You can download the free ebook. It's all available whatever day of the week it is at keepbelieving.com.
Hey, maybe next week or the week after we'll see. I'd like to just spend some time, just throw some Christmas questions at you.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I'd be glad to.
I'd like to do that. Some biblical Christmas questions is basically what I'm getting at here. So much.
A little on-air Christmas quiz?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
That kind of thing. So we'll do that. And maybe Steve Jordahl will interview you.
There you go.
Okay.
We can call it Trivia Thursday.
Yeah.
We can do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, not trivial. Questions that may be trivial, in some people's minds, but I'm talking about more serious, in-depth, biblical Christmas questions. All right, Steve, what's first up?
Georgia continues to be puzzling to many people. You know, Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger there early on, or at least a week ago, came out and said he didn't think that there was a whole lot of shenanigans going on there, and that he was going to certify the vote without any delay. But he has also, on a separate kind of track, now announced that he has opened an investigation into a group called the New Georgia Project, along with two other groups called America Votes and Vote Forward. The first one is Stacey Abrams, you know, the failed governor candidate there, who never conceded. He is charging, or the charges there are that these groups are seeking to aggressively register ineligible out-of-state or deceased voters before the state's January 5th Senate runoff. So there is some stuff going on in Georgia, and these groups, Democrat and liberal progressive groups, are kind of trying to cheat the system again.
No way.
Really? Way.
Way.
Well, that's good that the Secretary of State's office is investigating that, because you do have to, when nefarious things are going on, you have to expose them and prosecute them where the law calls for. Otherwise, you're going to have continued behavior, repeated behavior. So that's
why are some of these Hollywood types? They're talking. I wish I had one or two of them here. I was reading them yesterday. I could cite specifically telling people to move to Georgia to vote and then go back home.
Yeah, huh? I've heard that.
And that's illegal.
Are people going to do that?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And then what was the other one where they were saying college students need to do that?
Something about college students can, because they have residency, they're living in Georgia while they have voting privileges back home, if right. they're not from Georgia.
Out of state.
Then someone is encouraging them to go ahead and vote in Georgia, which I think is also illegal.
Yeah. Well, what day is the special election?
January 5th.
Okay. Well, January 5th, that will decide who controls the United States Senate.
It will.
Tim, what do you think about these people on the Republican side? There was the big speeches yesterday saying, if you're a Republican, you should not vote in the January runoff. That seems crazy to me, but what do you think?
I agree with you. That was Lynn Wood, the attorney right. over there in Georgia, who's pursuing a case against fraud and voting fraud from the presidential election. He has said that. What he's saying is that the voting system, I guess Dominion primarily, machines don't need to be used, and you can't trust them, and that if those are used again in the January 5th election, that Republicans should boycott and refuse to participate. I think that's crazy.
Yes.
With all due respect to the counselor, who's I'm sure is a very very intelligent person, why you want to give the United States Senate to two socialists for 6-year terms just because you suspect something happened?
Yeah.
November the 3rd that hasn't been, quote, fixed by January the 5th, whatever that means exactly. I just don't think you protest by punishing a country.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
We'll switch
over to Walker right here.
He also does, Lynn Wood did mention, the signature matching and some of the procedural things mm-hmm. that need to be fixed there. But
yeah, there's some very serious things that he did mention. I just don't agree with his solution on not voting.
Yeah, not voting is never the answer
right.
In any circumstance. But you also can't his expectation that they're going to magically get all this stuff fixed in 3 weeks is
now, did Lynn impossible. Wood, the attorney there, Breitbart reported that he made donations to Barack Obama during his run for president. Is that true?
That's what Breitbart reported, so I'm assuming their reporting is accurate.
And in fact, they're saying that he made major donations to Democrats for decades, it says. So
most trial lawyers are Democrats.
There's a lot of reasons someone might want to donate to a campaign that don't necessarily mean
sure.
because they are the going
business
to.
Business reasons.
Donald right. Trump did too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I understand that. So you might give to, I don't agree with that. I think it's being double-minded. But a lot of businesses, they give to Democrats and Republicans because they want to hedge their bets on who wins. They still have a good inroad there.
Sure. Yeah.
Most all trial lawyers are Democrats, and so I'm not disparaging Mr. Wood. I don't know him. And if you have a history of giving to Barack Obama, and now you got a MAGA hat on, something must have changed, right? Something must have changed in your worldview or your life or your philosophy, because that's a radical. That's a radical change.
Yes,
but that we're citing Breitbart as saying that Attorney Wood gave financially to Barack Obama's campaign in 2012.
Yes, yeah, and they also talked about how Lynn Wood is registered, or it shows on the voting records that he voted by mail absentee a few times, which Lynn Wood's criticized the mail-in voting thing. So I don't know. It is suspicious that Lynn Wood comes out of nowhere, quite literally, on November 4th, and is now leading the charge for MAGA country in Georgia.
Yeah.
So it's not that he's not being genuine and he has a good cause, but it's a little suspicious.
I watched yesterday's rally in, I guess it was Atlanta, and he said the governor and the lieutenant governor, no, the governor and the secretary of state there are criminals.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He said basically they'd taken bribes from Dominion.
Yeah, I think that's why.
Am I making this up?
No, that did happen at that rally yesterday. I think that's why you saw President Trump and his lawyers distance themselves from Sidney Powell, because Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood, they're rogue. They're out.
It was like a lawyer tent revival yesterday.
It was. Yeah, it was a lawyer tent revival.
Lawyer tent revival.
And he was wound up.
So, anyway. All right, next story, Steve.
We've been talking a little bit about, I heard you guys mentioning all the different hearings that states have been having, Republicans in states have been having with Rudy Giuliani and other witnesses. I just wanted to play you a little bit from a couple. This was two bites. This happened in Michigan. The first one I want to play you kind of gives you an idea of how contentious these hearings are. You're going to hear Representative Cynthia Johnson, and she's accusing the witnesses of lying. She says she wants to see them under oath because, well, she knows that they're lying. Rudy Giuliani steps in and challenges that. But then you're going to hear from a naturalized U.S. citizen, an Indian-born woman named Hima Kolanagri-Eddy. I'm sorry, it's a long last name. But basically, she's saying, you know what? If I'm lying, I'm dying, basically. Listen to cut six.
Point of order is to have them under oath. You're allowing people to come in here and lie, and I know they're lying.
Representative, you're out of order. I've indulged you, but you're out of order, and we're going to move on.
May now, I say something, please?
Sure.
If that is what you want me to do, I would do it. And I will still repeat the exact same thing I watched. And you know what? I also want to say one thing. If it is a lie, it may change because a liar has to have a lot of memory power. If it is truth, you can ask me in the middle of the night. It'll still be the same.
There you go. Contentious stuff going on there.
Now who was that again and what was she saying?
Her name is Hima Kolanagri-Eddy. And basically, she's a naturalized U.S. citizen, and she was testifying to she's a poll watcher there in Michigan. And she says that she saw some shady dealings going on with people changing ballots and some irregularities that she was testifying to. And this representative, Cynthia Johnson, wasn't having much of it. She says, well, these people aren't under oath. And somehow she thought she knew that they were lying. Well, Hima had some other things to say about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, many of these witnesses, they submitted affidavits, sworn affidavits, before they even went to this testimony there in Michigan. So to accuse someone of lying with no evidence that they're lying and no way to dispute them is just irresponsible.
Yeah, how would the lady accusing her of being a liar know?
Right. Because this is a witness. She's like, I was there at the polling place.
Right.
When they were doing
that's like,
illegal
that's like
things.
Me going outside here and saying it's cloudy, coming back into you, and you saying you're a liar.
Right. And you witnessed it
firsthand. And you hadn't even been outside.
Right.
I mean, that's just, I don't know how you know that.
These witnesses are really stepping out and doing something a little pretty brave, actually. And this is the second bite I wanted to play from Michigan. Listen to Melissa Carone. She's a Dominion employee who came out and said that the software there isn't to be trusted. But more than that, what she's saying is what it cost her to talk. Listen to cut five.
I was working with Dominion. Mm-hmm. My life has been destroyed. My life has been completely destroyed because of this. I've lost family. I've lost friends. I've been threatened. My kids have been threatened. I've had to move. I've had to change my phone number. I've had to get rid of social media. Nobody wants to come forward. They're getting threatened. Their lives are getting ruined. I can't even get an actual job anymore.
it's costing these people some quite a bit.
Steve, that's a Dominion employee or a Dominion contractor.
Contractor,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. She blew the whistle.
What's a Dominion contractor?
She was a contractor working for Dominion Voting Systems.
Oh.
They provide the machines for all the voting. She was in Michigan.
So she's saying people who support President Trump are coming after her? Is that what she's saying?
No, she's saying that people who don't like Trump are coming after her because she blew the whistle, because she filed an affidavit on this.
Gotcha.
On this, she was from, I believe she was from Detroit. I believe she submitted an affidavit about the about some nefarious things that were going on in one of these polling centers.
Bless her heart. Hopefully somebody can help her, a GoFundMe page or something like that.
Look, this is happening all over the country, right? All over the country, that if you're a poll watcher, in this case contractor for Dominion, and you dare to speak out, you're going to be savaged. You're going to be attacked on social media, going to get the threats, all the stuff she talked about. This is happening many places.
Yeah, the council culture on the left go after you for much less than that.
Yes.
You know, another thing is, do we know any more, Steve, about the truck driver that said he had a trailer full of ballots that he drove from New York to Pennsylvania and then...
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard an update on that since yesterday. He drove, what he said, 20-some pallets of votes, some hundreds of thousands of votes from New York into Pennsylvania. And this is the day before the election. And these were, he said, were kind of filled out. He didn't see who they voted for, but he said that they were basically used ballots that he was trucking across state lines.
And then his trailer disappeared.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I listened to his testimony, his speech, if you want to call it that, that he did with the Thomas More Society earlier this week. And, you know, he explains how his original route was to go from New York to Pennsylvania. It wasn't Lancaster. It was another area.
Bethpage, I think.
Yeah, Bethpage, basically U.S. Postal Service Center in Pennsylvania in Bethpage. He sits there for 6 hours with these ballots in the back of his truck, and they never tell him what's going on, what's taking so long. And finally, a supervisor comes out and says, we need you to go to Lancaster, which is a different town, a different city in Pennsylvania, which wasn't part of the plan at all. He goes to Lancaster, and they tell him to drop the trailer. He comes back the next day to finish his route, and the trailer's missing. He said he estimated 200,000 ballots.
Now, he put his mug on the camera.
Yes.
I mean, publicly, for all the world to see, my name is, here's who I work for, here's what I did, here's what I saw.
Yeah.
And, of course, we don't know the mystery of what happened to those ballots after he went back to get his trailer and it was gone, and how he described sort of some mysterious conversations or lack of with his bosses, with his supervisors. I wonder if he'll be able to keep his job. Probably not. But here's the thing to be encouraged by. That case and the other case that was brought forth by the Thomas More Society. Mm-hmm. What was the other case about? It was another gentleman. Anyway, is being investigated by the FBI. So under Attorney General Barr's, I'm sure, direction.
Yeah.
And the other case was ballots showing up in the middle of the night, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that was Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me also say this. I know there's a lot of skepticism about the FBI itself, right, since we saw under James Comey's and all the other characters that were there that were plotting against President Trump. The field folks for the FBI are patriotic Americans just wanting to do their job to serve their country, and are honest, mm-hmm. right?
Right, right. Good people.
So you got political folks at the very top. A lot of them, some of them are suspect. But what I'm saying to you when you say, is this the same FBI that went after Trump? and you're telling me they're investigating the situation in with this truck in the United States Postal Service, I'm just telling you that I have confidence that if they're going to look, if they're going after that, and this is made public, that they will investigate it to its fullest. But
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
I'm naive.
There. No. These field offices across the country, I mean, they're for the most part independent on their investigations. So, you know, they have the full power of the FBI to investigate things, and
the FBI can ask, they can knock on doors and get. Talk to people.
Subpoenas and
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is I think we'll find out what happened to that trailer.
Yes.
In the next week or so. I would say probably. Unless they give it to special counsel, in which case it'll be 4 years from now.
It ended up in China. Nobody knows how it got there.
Oh my goodness. It's just John Durham things taking forever.
Yeah.
Investigating the root cause, I could have done that in a week.
Well, the to your point, that Devin Nunes in Congress did half the work for him.
Four of us, we could have done this in a week, huh? We're talking about John Durham's charge by William Barr was to investigate the origins of the Russia hoax. Against President Trump. Is that right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I know he's looking at legal, if there was any criminal activity, right? I'm guessing. So I know that's a more lengthy and detailed and laborious task than what I'm talking about here. That is, I can list you five things that happened. That's the main things. Is anything going to be done about it would be the next question.
Right.
But what you're talking about is Devin Nunes, the congressman of California, his committee basically, as you said, yeah. All he has to do is hand over the file to
John Durham,
and yeah. there's three-fourths of your work, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's just people get frustrated, and I understand why, and I get frustrated too because – an example I brought up the other day is when Bubba Wallace, the NASCAR driver, found the fake noose in his garage.
N-O-O-S-E.
Yeah.
Fake noose.
Yes.
News.
Yeah, no, in his garage, the rope that they thought was a noose, it ended up just being a pull string for the garage door that had been there for years. Well, the FBI sent, like, I think over a dozen, if not 20.
From Birmingham to Talladega.
Yeah, if not 20 or 30 FBI agents. They sent a whole special team over there of investigators swiping for fingerprints and all kind of stuff in Talladega. But the FBI puts together this cabal to go after the president-elect, and it takes them 5 years to get this thing done. So John Durham's still investigating. And
he'll be shut down when Biden gets in.
Yeah, no.
That's
no
one of the reasons, though, that Barr made him a special counsel, because it's harder to shut him down now that he's a special counsel.
That's true. Barr did do that a couple of days ago. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. Ray, thank you, brother.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Steve, appreciate your insights and information.
My privilege.
My thanks to Walker, Fred, Adam, and Congressman Mo Adam Suttis, who's our producer today, and Congressman Mo Brooks from Alabama, who joined us. And we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Well, looky here, it's Friday tomorrow. And so JJ will be here and Ed will be here, and we'll have trivia. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.